How many know that there's a champion inside you? Maybe I need to ask it again. How many know there's a champion inside you? Choir, how many know there's a champion inside? Oh, there's no choir back there. How many know there's a champion inside you? Yeah, we got one back here. That's right. There's a champion inside you. And today we're continuing our series, Revealing the Champion in You. And there's a champion in every one of us. And I believe that wholeheartedly today, that there is a champion inside every one of us. Some of you say today, I don't feel like much of a champion. And I can say to you, I relate to you this morning. I got up and I'm thinking, this is just like the ball game, you know, when you play through the pain. You know, I'm going to preach through the pain today. We're gonna play. And, you know, sometimes we have to have those times in our life when we fight through the pain and the things that are going on, which really goes along with what we're going to be talking about today. But we are realizing that there's many times in our life that we don't feel like champions. Many times in our life, matter of fact, we're just the opposite. We feel like failures. We feel like, you know, I just have not reached the potential that God has for me. And I say to you that you did not miss the boat, that God didn't overlook you when God was passing out brains. You didn't hear trains and go down to the railroad track. That God was speaking to you and I, that he was giving every one of us the ability to be a champion, that there's a champion inside every one of us. How do I know that? Because he says, my spirit is inside you. How many know that God's a champion? He conquered death. He conquered the grave. He conquered the cross. I mean, he is a champion. He's the champion of all champions. And he says, even greater things shall you do through me. I mean, we are champions, and God has called us to live this championship life. There's a championship life that God has called us to live. And today I believe that many times in our life that we are in need of a miracle. Turn to your neighbor and say, are you ready?
I'm ready for a miracle.
No, you got to do it right. Turn to your neighbor and say, are you ready for a miracle? Instead of bringing this music down, let me just tell you today, as I was thinking about this thought today, are you ready for a miracle? I was thinking that many times as I like to watch a lot of these documentaries over the season of some of the sports' greatest teams. And you see some of these documentaries over the greatest seasons of the Super Bowl era or championship era, that many times you'll see these guys talking about that somewhere along the line they had a miracle play or they would have been out of the playoffs. So something that happened beyond, you know, the expectation. And as many times through that they had something that happened. You know, there's only 1 second left on the clock and, you know, there's a kickoff coming. All they got to do is tackle you and it takes a touchdown to win the game, and it only takes a miracle, you know. And you've seen those plays where, you know, they throw the ball behind, and then he gets tackled, and he'll throw it up in the air, and the guy will catch it and run a little bit, and he'll throw it up in the air, and he'll catch it. And all of a sudden, 12, 15 laterals later, a guy's catching, and he's running in the end zone, and people are going, do you believe in miracles? You know, that never happens. But yet, every once in a while, it seems like those miracles happen. You know, I can remember, you know, one of my first recollections of memories was Franco Harris catching that ball out of the air, guys. You know what I'm talking about. You know, it bounces off the player, and he catches the ball in the air and runs it in for a touchdown to take him on to victory. And all these championship teams have these last-second shots where some guy shot it up from half court, and it swished a basket, you know, and you're thinking, that was a miracle. There's no way that would happen. You know, and it seems along the line that these championships – that these guys who are champions and championships, somewhere along the line, they had this, you know, Hail Mary pass that was tipped in the end zone, and these guys catch it. It was like, you know, without a miracle play, they wouldn't have gotten to the championship. And many times in our life today that we need miracles. And today, if you need a miracle, I say you're in the right spot today because we serve a miracle-working God. Let me say that again today. We serve a miracle-working God. And if you say, you know, I don't know, when do you need a miracle in your life? Or maybe when your daughter comes to you and says she's joining Hell's Angels, maybe you need a miracle. Maybe when the boss comes to you and says, you know what, I know Christmas is 2 weeks away, but I'm going to have to let you go. Maybe you need a miracle. Maybe when a spouse comes to you and says, I'm leaving, and your marriage is falling apart. Maybe when your finances look like you can't balance another penny and you're so much in the hole that by the time you deposit your next week's check that you won't even cover the checks you got out this week. I mean, somebody know what I'm talking about here. Okay, I'm talking your language today. I know I am. Because in every one of our lives, sometimes in our lives, we need a miracle. And the fact is that we serve a miracle-working God. And I think that many times we forget this fact that our God is a miracle-working God. And that God longs to do miracles in our lives still today. Some of you may say, I just think miracles are just for the New Testament and Old Testament times, the biblical times, that when, you know, Jesus was resurrected and after he went to heaven, the miracles stopped. And I say that you are could not be further from the truth, that today that we are called to tap into the source of the miracles of Jesus Christ. He says, greater things shall we even do through the power of his name, that we have the authority today and we serve a God who is a miracle-working God. And so today I want to talk to you, and as we look at these, I want to talk to you about a story in Luke chapter 18. In Luke chapter 18, I love this story, this miracle, and we're going to look at this story as a way to see how do we get the miracle that God has for us and how do we pray for the miracle that God wants us to experience in our life. But what I like about the story of this blind man and about the other miracles in the Bible was these are ordinary people. These were not people who were, you know, great scholar people. Most of them, some of them were high up in the Roman Empire and in the army and in the government, and others were just peasants, man, beggars. And everywhere in between, Jesus touched people's lives. And he did miracles from the beggar up into the government official and their families. Everybody in between, Jesus did not just limit his miracles to certain class, to a certain race, to a certain social class of people, but Jesus had miracles and he did these for all different kinds of people today. And I see that they were just ordinary principles about ordinary people. And we're going to find out the principles about their life and what they did to experience their miracle. So I want to invite you to turn your Bibles, if you have them today, to Luke chapter 18. And when you pray for a miracle, there's some things you got to do. First of all, you got to be passionate, number one. You got to be passionate. You got to put your whole heart into it. When you pray, pray with intensity, pray with feeling, pray with urgency. Have you ever noticed how your kids ask for things? Now, if you're like me, I have 5 kids, and I know some of you aren't like me, but some of you are. Some of you are almost like us. But if you have kids, you know what I'm talking about today. When you take them to the store at Christmas time, or you open up a catalog or whatever it is and say, tell me what you want for Christmas. And this always happens. I ask my kids, what do you want for Christmas? And we'll walk to the store. I want this, and I want that, and I wouldn't mind having this. And they want everything. Isn't that true? You know, I want this, you know, they want that. They want everything. But if you really listen as a parent, you'll really find out what they really want. Because they'll go to you and they'll take that one thing and say, but dad, I really, really want this. You know, many times I'm walking through Walmart, my kids will ask me for things. And they'll say, dad, can I buy this or do that? And if it's something I think that maybe they should have or I want to, I always test them with this thing right here. I'll say, you know what? That's probably a fun game to get. I'm sure you would like to take that home and play on your Wii with this, or I'd like to do this. I'll tell you what, when you go home today, I'll give you some things, opportunity for you to earn some money, and next time you come back to Walmart, you can buy it with your own money. And if they say, really? All right, what can I do? Then I know they're excited about, they really want this thing, and they'll go home, and they'll ask me right away, what can I do to earn the money? You know, they'll work around the house, and they'll work around the yard, and I'll have new things to earn that money, and we'll go back to the store, and they'll purchase that item. That's another lesson that you can just put in the bank for another sermon altogether there. We got too many kids that we give too many things to all the time without them earning it. That's another lesson, okay? We'll save that message for Father's Day or Mother's Day or something along the way. But it's important that we teach responsibility. And so what I do is I test them. If they really want that thing, they'll go home right away and want to work for it. And I can tell what they really want. And when they don't, they're like, oh, don't you just buy it for me. You know, and no, you can go home and earn the money, and I'll come back and bring you back and buy it. And so I can always tell what they really want by the way they respond and how they ask. You know, I really, really want this. Many times they'll say, dad, don't buy me anything else for Christmas, just as long as you buy me this. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. They have a way of letting you know what they really, really want. Wives, you have a way of letting your husbands know many times what you really, really want, you know, and we are very conscious about, passionate about the things that we want. And we find ourselves asking them how, we find ourselves being asked. We can identify by how someone asks how they really want it. God, I believe this, that God listens to the tone of your voice. I believe God knows the urgency of your prayer. I believe God knows, do you really want something or not? Are you just praying this generalized prayer, or do you really want what you're asking him for? Luke 18 and verse 35 says it like this, and the story of this man who was blind. It says, as Jesus approached Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard the crowd going by, he asked, "What's happening?" They told him that Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. So he called out. That actually means the translate that translates out. He cried out. He didn't just call it. He cried out. The Living Bible also says he began to shouting, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." See, the first problem you and I have in prayer is that I have it, and so do you, is that we, what I call this praying, these generalized prayers where we really aren't serious about what we pray. How many times do we pray this prayer of, you know, "God bless America," you know? What, when really you think about it, what really, what kind of prayer is that? "God bless America," you know? What are we praying for? Are we praying for the war in Iraq? Are we praying for our civil government? Are we praying for our leaders? Are we praying for our president? Are we praying? What are we really praying for? Are we praying for the decline in morality? Are we praying for a spiritual revival? I mean, what are we saying? And many times we'll do the God bless America. I mean, we get, you know what I'm talking about? We get into this generalized praying and prayers, and we forget the intensity of what we're asking. We've learned all the phrases. You know, we bow our head at the dinner table. God is good. God is great. And we thank him for our food. Amen. Do we really thank him for our food? You know, my dad would always say, "God, you know, thank you for his food and for his nourishment to our bodies and to our bodies to your service." Amen. You know, and it's the same prayer. You know, I love my mother-in-law. She's a great praying woman and just a great prayer warrior. But, you know, she has to pray over every little chip she eats. She can't have a snack. She can't have a glass of water. We always tease her. She's dead set that she don't even take a snack without praying over that. That's a good thing. That's not a bad thing. But what's funny is my 8-year-old son told Grandma the other day. He said, "Grandma," she was praying over this certain snack before she had it. She goes, "Grandma, do you think that Jesus gets tired of hearing that same prayer?" He goes, "Don't you think he'd like it better if you changed that prayer up once in a while?" You know, out of the mouth of babes. And there's a lot of truth to that. We get stuck in this rut of saying the same prayer over and over again. And sometimes what happens is we'll say that same prayer to the point to where, are we really meaning what we're saying? Or are we just doing it because it's a spiritual habit? We get into a spiritual habit. I should pray for this. And, you know, my mind's on eating this food. My mind's not on thanking the Lord for this food. My mind's on, that smells good. I want to dig in. And I want to eat. How many times do we actually are specific about what we're praying for? And listen, there's a passion to the prayer when it comes to getting your miracle, that we see that God is looking for those who are passionate. Just like us, I know what my kids want when they say, "Dad, I really, really want this." That gets my attention. I know they are really serious about this. But when I walk down the aisle, "Can I have this? Can I have that? Can I have this? Can I have that?" You know, I tune them out. You know, I don't even hear it anymore because I know that they really don't want that. They just want it because they see it. They don't really need it. They're not really passionate about it. It's not going to do them any good. They just see something shining and they want it, you know. And so I tune that out. How many times do we get in that same prayer? "God bless America. God bless my food. God bless my sin." And we live our day, "Oh, I've been praying all day long." Have you really prayed? Have you really been passionate about the prayer that God has called you to pray? Jeremiah 29:13 says, God says, "You will find me when you seek me with all your heart." You will find me when you seek me with half your heart. It didn't read it like that, did it? It said with all your heart. So why do we expect God to answer our half-hearted prayers? Why should we expect God to do a miracle in our half-hearted prayers? I mean, when we serve our miracle-serving God, but when we pray to him, we should pray with our whole heart. God, I am serious about this thing in my life. God, this is what I'm going through. God, this is what I need. You know, God has a way to teach us to pray this way, passionately. How many want to learn how to pray passionately? You want to learn how to pray? I do. You know, and God has a great tool to teach us how to pray passionately. You know what it is? It's called pain. I tell you what, there's a lot of guys who didn't go to church. There's a lot of guys who didn't believe in God or religions for this or that. But there's a lot of guys in Iraq right now on their knees praying in the foxhole somewhere. They have found Jesus because they're scared for their life. Isn't that right, Carl? We talk about it all the time. You know, there's a lot of people who, I pray to God and I don't know how to pray. And, you know, I can't be a spiritual leader in my home. You find me a husband who says, I can't be a spiritual leader in my home. I can't pray. That's not really me, the way I was raised. And his wife walks out on him. He's like, Pastor, we got to pray. Doctor gives you some bad news, and all of a sudden, we got to pray. It's a serious. I mean, pain will cause you to get serious, won't it? Pain is what God uses many times to cause us to get passionate about what we are going through. And so the key is not to have to use pain to be passionate. Because if I can learn to be passionate about the prayer that I'm praying, if I can learn to be passionate about my communication with God, then many times I will save myself walking through that pain. I believe that. Not every instance, not every pain that I go through, but many times in our life, if I would just learn to be passionate about my marriage before my marriage goes on the rocks. I know none of you had problems with your marriage. You're all perfect. But for the two of you who maybe are facing that today, if we get passionate about what we're praying, get passionate about the prayer that you have. This man was passionate about what his problem was. But the problem is we get passionate, and when the pain leaves, so is our passion. And see, that's where we're at. We get passionate while we're going through the pain, while we're going through the trial, but when the pain leaves, so does our passion. And so what we're trying to teach and what we're trying to get you is to, this passion should always be at this level, that when my pain comes, my passion goes here, and then my pain disappears, my passion's down here. And so what we're trying to get you is right here, that we're on a constant saying, God, I'm going to stay passionate about the things of you. When you want a miracle in your life, you got to stay passionate and pray passionately. Number two, you pray persistently. Verse 39 says it like this, that the people in front, talking about the blind man, the people in front scolded him and told him, be quiet. Can you imagine? Here's the beggar guy, blind beggar guy, asking for money. And pretty soon he hears a Jesus come by and he's going, yo, Jesus! Jesus! Everybody around, shh, be quiet. We don't want Jesus to see that we have you in our city. We don't want Jesus to see you're up here by City Hall. That's, you know, be quiet. And this man, he does what any man who would do who was in a situation, I believe. This man was passionate about his healing. He didn't say, oh, you're right, I'm sorry, I'll be quiet. Look what he does right here. They scolded him in front and told him to be quiet, but he shouted even more loudly, Son of David, have mercy on me. So they're saying, be quiet. He's saying, what? I can't hear you. Jesus, don't pass me by. Jesus, I need you. Jesus, you're my only answer. Jesus, only you have the power to heal my body. Jesus, only you can bring back sight to my life. Jesus. See, when you get passionate about your prayer, then also you'll get persistent in knowing that you don't give up, even when people tell you to be quiet. You've been praying about that thing for too long. You've been praying about this long enough. No, you pray until you get an answer. You pray. Now, listen, I've preached the balance of this message before, and you guys have heard me talking about that we're not called to beg God. And I'm not talking about begging God for anything, that we're not beggars, that we are victorious in him. And when we come to the right authority in Jesus Christ, we know the place that he has set us in our spiritual authority. We're not beggars. But there's nothing wrong with continuing to pray passionately until you get an answer. And I talk about many times that in our prayer, that I don't always ask God for the thing, but I move into a prayer of thanksgiving. God, I thank you. I thank you, God, that now that you're healing my body. I thank you, God, that you are doing this miracle in my life. God, I thank you. That God, even though I don't see it, God, I know you're working on my behalf. And so there's a time to change that prayer around from asking to a thankful heart, but don't give up. Continue to praise the Lord. Continue to be persistent in asking of him. Romans 8:32 says it like this. If God loved you enough to give Jesus, his son, to die for you, he loves you enough to care for your other needs. Write this scripture down also. It's not on your overhead. Matthew 7:11. that says God loves to give good gifts to his children. If you are being imperfect, Father knows how to give good gifts. Certainly your Heavenly Father, who is perfect, knows how to give you good gifts. Persistent. It shows what you really care about. I know what my kids really want by their persistence. They tell me, you know, when they leave the picture cut out on my desk and taped to my computer to monitor, or the toy they want. When they write me out a note, Dad, don't forget, you said when we went to Walmart next Friday that you're going to pick up this certain game. They are persistent. They don't let me forget. They don't take any chances. You said, well, I was at school, you would go by and pick us up. They don't take any chances of me forgetting. I mean, they're persistent. There's no way. When I tell them something, they tap into that, and they hold me to it, and they're persistent. If I tell my son, my son Landon, he loves to go to the movies, and he'll find out a premiere. He'll watch the previews. Coming out this summer, you know, some movie come out, and he'll be like, Dad, I'm out. This is no lie. For 6 months, he'll ask me, Dad, now you said on March 31st, this is like last year. Dad, you said on March 31st, the premiere, I mean, we could go to it. Can we go to that? And he continues to ask me. And I'm like, please, son, you know, leave me alone. Don't ask me at least until we get to the month of March. You know, he's constantly asking me. He doesn't let me forget. He's persistent. And he does not let me forget my mind. And the Heavenly Father says that we have that same relationship. He's our Father, and there's nothing wrong with us being persistent and saying, God, I am passionate about these things. God, I know what your word says, and I am claiming the promise of your word. Be persistent. It shows what you really care about. Pray about it more than just one half-hearted prayer. Be passionate about it. If you want a miracle in your life, you got to have some passion about what you're praying about. Now, I'm not talking about being performance-based. Don't misturn this message today. This is not about performance-based because we are not performance-based. God's love for us and his answer to our prayers is not performance-based. But I'm talking about not losing that passion, not allowing ourselves to get into this generalized half-hearted prayers and then expecting God to do miracles in our life. When you have a miracle in your life that needs to be done, you stay persistent. You stay passionate about what you really need from God. And don't you let anybody shut you up. You go after that thing and you pray for that thing. Look at Colossians 4:2 says, don't be weary in prayer. Keep at it. Watch for God's answers. He says, don't quit. When you come to someone's door, do you knock on the door like this? You come to my house and do this, I ain't going to hear you. I got 5 kids running around the house. I may be in grandma's eating dinner. I don't know what's happening, but this one knock isn't going to get it. If you want to get to my house door, you got to do this right here. And if I don't answer, you better keep on doing it. Amen. Look at that water. At least the lid's on this time, okay? Brian, thank you for that. You should come and grab that. Thank you. He was laughing at me last time because I was pounding on the pulpit. He saw it scooting over to the edge. And I was wondering why he was laughing at me. And then that last hit, it fell out and spilled everywhere. And now I know why he was laughing at me. But if you want to get my attention, do you knock one time at my door? No. What do? You keep on knocking. The Word of God says why? He says knock and what? Knock and what? Knock and it will be open. Knock, and that door will be open. Stay passionate. Stay persistent. Number 3, be precise. Be specific, man. Be specific about what you need. Tell God exactly what you're doing in your life and exactly what you need. I mean, down to details. Be a detailed God. Our God's a detailed God. Look around at all of us. I mean, look at the difference in our details of our bodies and our makeup and the nature. I mean, God was a very detailed God. He didn't just do a blanket mold, and when he made us, thank God that some of us don't look alike. But, you know that today we don't just have a certain area that all Americans look alike, does it? We have different regions, and we have different way that the region looks, and the weather, and the grass, and the desert, and the fall, and the winter. I mean, God was a specific God. Tell God exactly what you have need of. Don't say, God, just bless America. God, bless America. Get specific. God, what are you praying for? What are the things in America that is tugging at your heart that you really have a burden for? Pray specifics. Verse 40, look what Jesus did. here with this man. Verse 40 says that, so Jesus stopped and ordered that the blind man be brought to him. And when he came near, Jesus asked him, what do you want me to do for you? Look what he says. Sir, he answered, I want to see again. Now, some of you say, why is this a big deal, Pastor? Because how many know that I think that Jesus already knew what this man wanted? When Jesus walked over to the guy, when he brought him, how many know that, I guarantee you, we know this, that Jesus already knew what he wanted. But yet Jesus stopped and asked him, what do you want? So if it's not important, some of you here today, well, I don't need to ask God. He knows my heart. Yes, he does know your heart. But even when he knows your heart, he wants you to communicate it. He wants you to be specific about it in your request. He asked the blind man, what do you want? Look what the blind man says. Well, Jesus, if it's your will, just touch me. Jesus said, all right, I'll touch you. See ya. But he didn't ask. He said, Jesus, I want to see. He was very specific. Very specific about what he wanted. He was passionate about it. He was made it very clear. James 4:2 says it like this. The reason you don't have what you want is because you don't ask God for it. You have not because you ask not. We talk about this a lot in communication when we're teaching that husbands and wives, that we're not mind readers, and we got to communicate with each other what we really want, what our needs really are. As wives, communicate to our husbands. I know you think that we know everything about women, but some of you are laughing because you know that's not true. But, you know, you got to communicate to us what you want, specific. Tell me, you know, break it down. What are you really saying? Don't play this game. If you love me, you'll read my mind. Be specific. Tell me what you want. Tell me what you wanted me to hear. Same thing has happened here. Be specific. Be specific. Tell Jesus what you want. You have not because you ask not. I heard the story of a man. He went to heaven, and he got to heaven. He had a vision of heaven. He went to heaven, and he got there, and he walked in, and he saw these big boxes. He had this dream of heaven. As he went to these big boxes, one box said, a great marriage. The other one said, my children knowing Jesus. Other one said, promotion on my job. And on, all these boxes of different things were there. And he asked the angel, he said, angel, what's inside those boxes? He goes, open them up and see. And as he opened them up and see exactly what was in there, on the outside of the box was inside the box. And he said, what are these doing here? Because these are all the things that no one ever asked for. And he had that vision. He shared that. And I thought that was a really cool analogy about that's the kind of resource our God is, that we have not because we ask not. How much has God really wanted to do for us if we will just humble ourselves, be specific, and ask? God, help me to control my temper. God, help me to be a better communicator in my marriage. God, help me to be a better loving father. God, help me to do well in my job, that I can get a promotion and get an advancement. God, help me to find a job that I can work days instead of having to work nights all the time. God, help me. I mean, be specific. Don't say, God, just help my marriage. No, be specific. How can God really help your marriage? What are the things that you really need help in? God, don't just touch my children. No, what do you want God to do in your children? What do you see specifically that God can do? Be precise. Ask and it shall be given. Over 20 times in the New Testament, the Bible says to ask, to ask, to ask. Over 20 times we're called to ask. Don't be vague. Vague prayers are lazy prayers. It doesn't take much to pray a vague prayer. That's a very lazy prayer. Be specific. That's just like our kids coming home and I ask them, what you learned today at school? Oh, nothing. It takes discipline when they tell me, well, you know, today I really learned this and this and this, and we worked on this, and this is the project we worked on my notebook, you know. It takes a little effort. It takes some time to dig in to get that. Sometimes our prayers are just like that. Jesus, bless America and bless my family. Amen. You know, get specific about what you want God to do. What do you want God to really do for you? Talk in specifics. He asked the man, what do you really want me to do for you? And he asked specifically, he verbalized it. See, Jesus wants you to verbalize your need for him. I just invite you to write out a request. It's a big prayer list. I invite you to go home today and maybe tonight before you go to bed, get out a piece of paper and write out a list. Maybe make a list. I just tell you to start simple. Make a list of five things. God, what are five things specifically I'm praying about that I need you to do in my life? Some things may be a miracle. Some things may just be needing God's power to work on your behalf. Whatever it is, be specific. Write it out. God, these are just five things I can tell you right now that I need you to do in my life, for my family's life. Be specific and write them out. And then when you pray, pray that prayer every day when you open that list up. God, I'm believing you to do this exact thing in my life. I'm believing you to do this exact thing in my marriage. I'm believing you to do this exact thing in my finances, in my children's life. Be specific. Some of you say that takes time and energy. Yeah, it does. How many know that our faith will grow as we grow in our faith? That's right. Number four is to be positive. When you ask, when you're passionate and persistent and precise, you must then be positive. Expect God to act. Expect God to act. Trust God to answer. Look what verse 42 says. Jesus said to this blind man, "See, your faith has made you well." That's what he says. Your faith has made you well. It was his faith that allowed God to do the miracle in his life. It was his faith that allowed God to do the miracle. Him being specific, he didn't say, "Jesus, just touch me." No, he said, "Jesus, I want to see." And he knew that if Jesus touched him, that he could see. I mean, he had faith in knowing if Jesus touched my eyes, my blinded eyes will see. He had the faith. So you got to be positive. You got to expect God to answer. "Well, God, I know you really don't like me. God, I know you really just, you know, you probably won't answer this, but, you know, if you think it's all right, could you help me?" No. I don't go to him that way. I go to him as a father. "Father, I need you. God, I believe that you have the power to help me to change. You have the power to help me to change in this area of my life. I need you specifically, and I believe you can do it. And I believe in trusting you're going to do it in my life. Pastor, I just have a little faith today." And I say, "That's great. That's all you need." Because how many know that we have a little faith, but we have a big God? My little faith with a big God produces big fruit, produces big miracles in my life. But you got to have faith. You got to have faith and believe that God can answer what you're asking. You got to put your faith into action. Mark 11:24 says, "Whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you will receive it, and it will be yours." Ask and believe. Ask and believe. How can I be more positive in prayer? How many would like to be more positive in prayer? Isn't that a good key for all Christians? We ask that. How can I be a little more positive? How can I believe? Let me give you a key that will help you. When you're reading the Bible, keep a pen, keep a highlighter with you. When you read the promises of the Lord, in Scripture, there's over 7,000. That's right. Over 7,000 promises are in the Word of God. And when you read a promise, you underline that thing. And when you pray, you just pray that promise. "God, your word says that I can do this through you. And God, I'm praying this promise over my life." I read about a guy who was an immigrant from Scotland. He came to America, and he was going back to Scotland last century. This is last century this happened. And he had worked hard and saved all his money so he could return back to Scotland. And he purchased his ticket to go back to Scotland on the ship. And he spent all his money on the ship and the ticket. They didn't have any money to eat, and so he had a big jar of peanut butter that he took with him. And that's what he ate every day. He took his finger in there and eat that peanut butter all day long. And by the time the ship had gotten back to Scotland, he was sick. He was weak. He had to go to the medic's office. And his roommate finally asked him, said, why are you always eating that peanut butter?" He goes, "Well, I didn't have any money. I spent all my money on getting the ticket. And so I've just been eating this peanut butter the whole time, and I'm just so weak and sick." And he says, "Well, do you not realize that when you bought the ticket that the food was included? It was already there." Many of us, we didn't realize that the price has already been paid. Jesus Christ has already paid the price. Jesus Christ has already got the answer. He's already got what you need. But it's up to us to tap into that resource and knowing that he's already paid the price. I tap into his resource. Philippians 4:19 says, my God shall supply all your needs in Christ Jesus. And the last point here, I'm going to do it in closing real fast, is be grateful. I had to throw a letter G in there to throw you off, some of you guys who were following all those P's. I could have used praiseful, but I'm going to throw you off. So I used be grateful. Verse 43 says, at once he was able to see, look what he did. At once he was able to see, he followed Jesus, giving thanks to God. When the crowd saw it, they all praised God. Those are two things he did after Jesus answered his prayer. He followed Jesus, and he praised Jesus. That should be the lifestyle that we live, that we are following him and we're praising him. God, I thank you, Lord. I am not letting go because I'm following after you. I know what your word says I am. The world may say one thing, but your word says I'm forgiven. The world may say I have no championship living inside me, but your word says I am more than an overcomer. I am more than a conqueror. Your word says that I win. I have the cheat book right here. I know the plays. And it says in the end, I win. I win. I win. I win. And I'm more than an overconqueror in you. And I'm going to follow after you. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to allow myself to give up. I'm going to follow after you, and I'm going to be grateful for every answer prayer that you've given me. I'm thankful, God. Yes, I know I need a new car, but God, I'm thankful this old car that's just clanking down the road. Yeah, it's leaking oil, and I'm stopping and putting oil in it every day. But God, I'm thankful that you're going to open the door, and something's going to happen. I'm going to get a new car. I'm going to get a dependable car. God, I thank you. Be grateful along the way. God, I know that I just lost my job. But God, this only means that you have a better job waiting for me. So I'm thanking you, God, that you're going to work it out for good on my behalf. Isn't that right, Mike? Amen. Thankful. Be thankful to God that you're going to work it out on my behalf. Be thankful and praise him along the journey. Let's bow our heads this morning. I ask you that question again. Are you ready for a miracle? Our God is still a miracle-working God. But many times in our life, we have to learn to be passionate about things he's passionate about and continue. Continue. Be passionate, persistent, precise, specifically about what we need in our life. And trust in him. Let him know that we know that we have faith that he can do the miracle in our life. If every head bowed, every eye closed this morning, today if you're here, and I never want to close out a service. Very, very seldom do we ever close out a service when we don't give a chance for somebody to come and say, you know what, Pastor, I need to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Maybe you're like the 8 people last week who raised their hands and said they wanted to accept Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior today. You say, Pastor, I need to have that relationship with Jesus. I've never have asked Jesus Christ to be Lord of my life. And today, I would not embarrass you. Nobody's looking but me. But if you're here today, I say, I want Jesus to be Lord of my life. That's the first miracle I need to do is, first of all, just accept Jesus Christ as Lord of my life. No one's looking today. But can you just raise your hand if that's you and say, I want to accept Jesus Christ in my life today? Can you raise a high if that's you? I want to give you that chance. Anybody here? Second question today is, are you ready for a miracle? Some of you today, you got things in your life you're going through, and you just need a miracle of God. You just need God to do a miracle on your behalf today. And I say you're in the right spot because God is still in the miracle-working business. And he'll continue to be in the miracle-working business as long as we keep our faith in him. Don't allow your faith to grow weak. Don't allow your prayers to grow cold. Don't allow your quest to be general. Realize that you serve a specific God, a detailed God. When you pray and asking God to do miracles in your life, in your family, in your friend's life, you be specific today. I'm not going to ask who needs a miracle today because I'm sure if we really took time to discuss it, every one of us needs something in our life, a miracle. Some things that we need God to do, miraculous things in our life today. So I'm going to invite you to stand with me today as we close out this service. And I'm going to pray a prayer over you today that God would continue to just allow this teaching today to resonate in your heart, to challenge you to be specific, to challenge you to use your faith, to challenge you to realize we still serve a miracle-working God. Father, right now, I pray for every person standing up today. Well, I thank you, Lord, that our faith is in you, our trust is in you. We thank you, God, that you are still a miracle-working God. And every champion somewhere along the way needs some miracles to happen. And Father, we know today that, Lord, you've called us, Lord, to be people who tap into your miracle-working power. And I just pray that, Father, that everyone would learn, Lord, to be passionate about the things we have need of in our life. Help us to have a faith in you and knowing that when we ask specifically, God, you hear. And Lord, when we don't see the answer right away, may our faith not darken, may our faith not weaken, but God, may we can be consistent and persistent, Lord, believing that you are working things out on our behalf. And God, whatever the answer is, God, you have the answer I need. And Father, we believe that you can work specifically in our life. So I pray this week, God, as we go home, Lord, to make out lists. Lord, I'm asking for top five things, Lord, as we write those out, Lord, as we begin to pray these prayers daily. God, help me in this specific area. We're putting that trust in knowing that, God, you're going to work it out. And God, I believe that we're going to hear testimony of people who went home and wrote out specific quests, God, specific things they needed you to do in their life. And God, as they wrote them out specifically, God, and began to pray specifics to God, you did miracles in their life. And God, I am just thrilled, God, anticipating, Lord, that you're going to do miracles today. Our trust is in you, and we believe you today. And we say together, amen, amen. Turn to your neighbor once again and say, we serve a miracle-working God. God bless you. Have a great week. We'll see you Wednesday night, those who can make it. Be safe. God bless you.